You have rightfully claimed the privilege of devotion of unalloyed love for the transcendental Lord, O most glorious gopis. Indeed, by exhibiting your love for Krishna in separation from him, you have shown me great mercy. Om Jnana Timanantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudena Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantakam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitam Shcha He Krishna Purna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatrukhyascha Kripasindhubhyaivacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Sarvatma bhavo adhikrito bhavati nama rukshaje virahena mahabhaga mahanne anugraha krita. You have rightfully claimed the privilege of unalloyed love for the transcendental Lord, O most glorious gopis. Indeed, by exhibiting your love for Krishna in separation from him, you have shown me great mercy. Can I have some water, please? Sarvatma bhava, wholehearted love. Sarva atma, how many atmas are there? Each of us has how many atmas? Yes, we have at least three atmas. Body, mind, and soul. And the word is used in that way. So sarvatma bhava means all of them are permeated by love. And here it says, Uddhava, he's just been blown away, for lack of a better term, by witnessing the depth of the gopis' love for Krishna. And he can't help but express his gratitude for that revelation. Sarvatma. So we find this word sarvatma throughout the shastras. And here it's being used in a special sense, will be explained tomorrow, with regards to the love of the gopis. Bhava. Bhava bhakti. Adhikrito. Claimed by right. In English, we don't really have a word that adequately translates this term. adhikrita, adhikara, etc. What does adhikara mean? Huh? You're right. Anything else? Huh? I didn't hear. Entitled. Okay. What else? Huh? Yes. Capability. It means two things. The best word that I found for this in English is prerogative, because prerogative means you have a right to do something, but there's a reason that you have that right. The right is that you have the capability for that thing. In the 11th canto, Krishna tells Uddhava that Sway Sway Adhikare Yanishtha Saguna Parikritaha. When a person is situated in that thing for which he has both the capability as well as the authorization, then that's considered to be good. Then he's considered to be qualified, as we said. And to attempt anything else is a flaw. If we settle for less than we're actually qualified to do, then that becomes a flaw, because the part of us that's not engaged properly becomes engaged improperly. And if we try to do more than we're actually qualified to do, that's also a flaw, because we won't be able to do it, and then we become guilty of what is called by Naradmuni, 7th canto, paradharma. There are five kinds of adharma. Dharma is another word that we don't really have an adequate, a single translation in English that does justice to it. But there are five kinds of adharmas, one of which is to try to do someone else's duty. So he tells Uddhava that to do exactly what you're qualified to do and what is enjoined upon you to do, that is qualification to attempt anything else as well. So, adhikrito, because their sarvatma bhava, because their love is permeating all three of their modes of existence, not modes in the sense of material modes, but body, mind, and soul. Therefore, they have the authority to show mercy, even to a great scholar such as Uddhava. Uddhava has been described in the previous chapters. Does anybody remember what are his qualifications? In text 1 of chapter 46, Shukdev Goswami said, "The supremely intelligent Uddhava was the best counselor of the Vrishni dynasty, a beloved friend of Lord Krishna, and a direct disciple of Brihaspati." And here in this context we find that Krishna has entrusted him because he's not only a very confidential friend, but because he's very highly intelligent also. Krishna has entrusted him with this rahaskara. Rahaskara means confidential task. Actually, Uddhava has the adhikara to do this, but Uddhava is astonished to see. Sometimes we're also astonished when we see more advanced devotees. We think that we're doing okay, or we even think that we're doing quite well. We think that we're doing better than others. And then we see somebody who's really doing something, and we're humbled. So there are some who interpret this passage to be that Krishna deliberately wanted to humble Vidura. This is a popular interpretation in Vrindavan. We'll see what our acharyas have said about it, and we can review as well Krishna book to see what Srila Prabhupada said about it. But all these things are kind of implied here by the first line. Sarvatma bhavo adhikrito bhavati naam. Bhavati. He's using the plural term. Bhavan or bhavati. It's a term of great respect for a very exalted personality. And of course here it's in the feminine plural. And he's showing It's like whenever we address a superior person, we use the plural. A respectable person, we should use the plural form. So this is what he's doing, and he points out, virahina adhokshaje mahabhaga. You're very fortunate. Mahabhaga means, here it's translated, almost glorious ones. It can also mean that. But they're also the most fortunate ones, because by their separation from Lord Adhokshaja, he says, Mahan me anukraha kritaha. You have done a great mercy upon me. You've shown me great compassion. That is not at all what the gopis were thinking. The gopis were not even conscious of anything. In fact, if you ask the gopis, they consider that they don't have any qualification. But Uddhava is intelligent enough to see what is their qualification, and he feels humbled, and he feels very grateful that they showed him mercy. Now the purport points out that they showed mercy not only to Uddhava, but to the whole world. And ironically it says that they demonstrated for the whole world the joy of love of Godhead. If you ask the gopis, not only are they not qualified, but they're not joyful either. They have to insist that they're suffering like anything. The acharyas commenting on this passage, they said that when Uddhava arrived in Vrindavan, he saw so many people. They're all herding cows, they're all going about their daily tasks, and they're all joyfully singing the glories of Lord Krishna and Balaram. And it's been stated that actually that was actually just a show, just so that Uddhava could see what is the Krishna consciousness of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. But in fact, their normal state was complete devastation. That was their normal state. In other words, they were permanently abnormal. They were permanently devastated with this separation from Krishna. So they're not going to agree that they're engaged in joyful devotional service. They're suffering. They feel like that. In spiritual life, it's like that. What appears to be one thing is actually another thing. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur compares it to dry ice. If you touch dry ice to your skin, you'll be burned. It's freezing cold, but it burns you. And similarly, conversely, I should say that this devastation of separation, which the gopis would only call miserable, that is actually the greatest joy. This is not something that we can understand. We just can't understand this. We have no frame of reference. We have no capacity at this point to understand this. But it will be revealed when our senses become purified through devotional service, when we develop the same degree of adhikar, or at least a comparable degree of adhikar, to the devotees. How do we do that? Sarvatma bhava, by all-consuming love. Krishna tells us in chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita, famous verse, Vita raga bhaya krodha manmaya mam upasrita. What's the next half? Vitaraga bhaya krodha manmaya mam upasrita. And? No. Chapter 4, text 10. Bahavo jnana tapasa puta madhavam agataha. He says many, many, many persons in the past, they attained bhava bhakti. They attained it. How did they attain it? By becoming freed from attachment, fear, and anger. If we study Srila Prabhupada's unique purport to that verse, unique, I mean unique because There are very few purports, actually, that Srila Prabhupada has written completely by himself. Mostly his purports are paraphrasing or directly translating those of his predecessor acharyas. This verse is a special verse because in this verse, Srila Prabhupada says things that only Srila Prabhupada could have said, because they're only relevant to the modern world. So throughout the purport, and a few times in his purport, he emphasizes these three things. A lot of repetition in that purport, that itself is also instructive. But he says, Vita-raga-bhaya-krodha. We have attachment to sense gratification. That's 99% of us. And then some few people who have been permanently burnt out with sense gratification and have decided to give it up, they have fear. And what kind of fear is Prabhupada talking about? In our experience, the fear that we feel in this material world is because we don't know what the next problem is going to be. We know that it's constant challenges here, but we don't know what the next problem is going to be. So we're fearful of Maya. But this is not the kind of fear that Prabhupada talks about in his purport. He says instead, people who realize the futility of material life, material sense gratification, and are above the attachment that most of us all feel, the gyanis, in other words, those people are afraid of what? Who knows? They're afraid of personal relationships. They're afraid of the prospect of eternal personhood with respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because they have ample experience that all relationships in this world are completely dysfunctional. And it's borne out by the statistics. Even in ISKCON. So they're afraid that if I do this forever, then you know how is it going to happen? They're afraid. So raga, bhaya, and then what's the third one, which is the worst one? Krodha. And how does Srila Prabhupada define this?
Rejection.
Huh? Rejection. Well, I mean, we say it means anger. Krodha does mean anger. But anger follows after what? Frustration. And Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that aspect of the word. People have heard so many things, they've seen so many things, they're completely jaded, their faith is almost non-existent, and they just dismiss the whole thing. They just don't want to go there. There are many people like this. You try to discuss spiritual life with them, they're just not interested. Because they're frustrated. They're confused by all the kind of, it is like in India we have this, I don't know, you used to have, I don't know what they do now, but Asta television. So Asta television, one day it's the Sufis, the next day it's Sadhguru, the next day it's the Muslims, the next day it's Ammachi, the next day it's Hare Krishna, the next day it's, even a theologian would be confused by hearing all these conflicting accounts of what's going on. So people become frustrated by this and they just hang up on God altogether. Or they just forget about their spiritual life and dive into the intoxication of temporary sense gratification. So these are the three snares that really hook most of us and keep us entangled in material existence. Attachment, fear, and anger. Now I'm talking about this other verse for a long time. And there's a reason for that. Srila Prabhupada's conclusion is that, Krishna's conclusion, is that if we instead become purified of these three things, how? Bahovo jnana tapasa puta. What does it mean? Many, many people, when they become purified by the austerity of knowledge, why is knowledge an austerity? What makes knowledge austere?
What you have to give up to have it.
Huh?
To give up the habit.
Okay, fair enough, yeah. Very good, very good. Beginning with Ramanujacharya and confirmed by all of those who follow him, the acharyas commenting on that verse, they all agree that knowledge, first of all, to acquire knowledge, that itself is an austerity. That is, in fact, why nobody reads Prabhupada's books anymore. Well, the fact is that nobody reads any books anymore. But to open up these books and study these books, because they're every page is saying the same things over and over again, it strikes the mind as a little bit austere. And to learn something, you have to put some energy into it. That's a kind of an austerity. So that's the first thing. But second is, she said, once you have gained this knowledge, and especially once you've applied the knowledge, then you and realize the knowledge, because you don't get realization until you apply it, then you have an obligation to help others. And we've maybe noticed that people don't always want to be instructed. They don't always appreciate what they're hearing. They don't want it because they're lost in raga, bhaya, krodha still. And knowledge threatens all three of those. So, bahavo jnana tapasa puta. Puta means they've become purified by the austerity of knowledge in both ways. Not only are they taking the trouble to open these books, there's a joke, Bhagavad Gita, as it is. I've seen many, many houses. You find it's still sitting on the shelf, shrink-wrapped. As it is. So we have to open the books, we have to study the books, we have to apply the books in our own life, and then we get some realization, then we've got to somehow or other try to communicate that to everybody around us. And that's austere. There's no questioning it. It's austere. Anybody who's ever tried any stage of this process, you'll know it's not easy. Srila Prabhupada said, reading his books, I heard a lecture, he said, reading my books for 2 hours every day, he said, that is austerity. So, yeah, she got on the mantra. Are we supposed to end now?
No.
Okay. 8:30. So, bahavo jnana tapasa puta. And when we're purified by the austerity of knowledge, having conquered attachment, fear, and anger, or that is to say, having conquered sense gratification, aversion to personal spirituality, or spiritual personality, and frustration, or confusion, or anger at all the hypocrisies and all the contradictions that we perceive, when we can overcome those things and cultivate the austerity of knowledge, then we get purified. And when we're in a purified condition, madbhavamagata, Krishna says, then we've approached this ideal of bhava-bhakti. And the acharyas confirm that verse does refer to bhava-bhakti. So, sarvatma-bhava, you can see, is a very high qualification. And therefore, Uddhava uses this word, adhikrito. You have the qualification, you have the prerogative, and you therefore have the right to show mercy to someone like me. And he furthermore calls them Mahabhaga. Mahan man graha kritaha. You've done such a great mercy upon me. He appreciates, he's intelligent enough, at least he's educated, he has theoretical knowledge of the ideal of love of Godhead, such that he can appreciate the exalted level of these gopis, whose, well, the word is used here, unalloyed love is sarvatma, and all-pervading. And here it said it, that by showing this mercy to Uddhava, the gopis bestowed their mercy upon the whole world. And Uddhava is intelligent enough to see that as well. So according to Jiva Goswami, because their loving devotion was executed in an appropriate way, their love brought the Supreme Lord under their control. Appropriate. This is a key word here in the purport. Our loving devotion has to be executed in an appropriate way. And this is yet another reason to take the austerity of studying Srila Prabhupada's books every day. Because if we don't, then we will not see that our devotion is inappropriate. But those who are qualified will see that our devotion is inappropriate. What kinds of inappropriate devotion do we have in this world? Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Panchadatri, Vidhinvina, Aikantiki, Harer Bhakti, Udpada, Aiva Kalpate. When devotional service is not solidly grounded in the Shrutis, that means the four Vedas and the Upanishads, or in the Smritis, beginning with Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, etc., or the other Puranas, secondarily, etc., etc., then that so-called exclusive devotion, we find people who feel that they're engaged in aikantiki bhakti, exclusive devotion, unalloyed devotion. I don't have to follow any rules because I'm a pure devotee, or I'm guided by a pure devotee. This is another assumption. We think that we're actually guided by a pure devotee when we're actually not taking guidance from a pure devotee. So this becomes a disturbance, he says, to the whole society. All of our acharyas quote this verse, but this is a very important thing. Not only does it become a disturbance, it becomes only a disturbance. Utpata eva. Eva means exclusively so. So appropriate. The devotion has to be executed in an appropriate way. That's why we have bona fide spiritual masters. That's why we are enjoined to surrender to our bona fide spiritual master. So when we do that, then our love brings the Lord under control. Yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada, ityadi. A very easy thing to do, but, very simple thing to do, not necessarily easy thing to do. Why? Because we're sick. Our hearts are infected. We're infected by the desire for so much raga. We're infected by the hesitance of so much bhaya. We're infected by the confusion of so much krodha. So, it's not an easy thing. But somehow or other, if we can surrender unto a bona fide spiritual master and agree to be guided by him, then we can also bring the Lord under the control. Now in the ninth canto, there's a very instructive verse with regards to Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni's conflict that Krishna tells that just as a chaste wife brings her husband under control by faithful service, so in the same way, my devotees, they conquer me. This is the idea here. Vashikari, to bring the Lord under one's control. Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtana. There's two ways to interpret this. Param Vijayate. Param can be taken as an adverb. You can conquer supremely. Or Param can be taken as the object. You can conquer the supreme. Either way, it happens through Sri Krishna Sankirtana. Chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, chaste wives know that the chaste wife will conquer the husband only by surrender to him, only by complete surrender and submissive service. This is the injunction of the Shastra as well. So in the same way, the Lord agrees to come under the control of his devotee, but only when they serve him on his terms. Selfishness. Absolute selfishness on the Supreme Lord's part. His selfishness is also His mercy. And this is the hard pill to swallow. If we're not chanting Hare Krishna appropriately, if we're not hearing from Srila Prabhupada appropriately, then we misinterpret this fact. And it is an undeniable fact. It's confirmed by the very best of the devotees. Who is the very best of the devotees? Srimati Radharani. What does she say about Krishna? This is the concluding verse of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's 8 instructions. Ashlishyava paragatam tenashvamam adarshanat marmahatam karotuva. Seeing that I've completely surrendered to him in the way that we're discussing, completely submissive, completely surrendered, completely dependent. This is another thing that we hate in this material world. When he sees that I've surrendered completely, and yet still, adarshanat marmahatam. Marma, anybody who knows anything about Ayurveda, you know, there are certain soft spots, sensitive, very powerful places within the body. They're called marma. And marma means a very, I don't know how to translate. You understand, who's got some suggestion this word, marma?
Key points.
Key points, yeah, yeah. But soft spot, this is the point. Sensitive area. So heart is the most sensitive, isn't it? Our hearts. We hide them. We very carefully conceal things in the heart because it's a very soft, very key point. So she points out that Krishna knows what is this sensitive point in my heart, and that thing he dashes my hopes. Hata. Hata means killed. He kills my hopes. He's so cruel. How does he do that? Adarshanat marmahata, by not appearing before me. Or, even when he does appear before me, adarshanat marmahata kurotu va yathatatha va viratatu. He can do anything. He has no rules. This is Krishna's position. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to call him the transcendental despot. He has no rules. This is the point. We have rules. Krishna has no rules. Ramchandra even has rules. All the other forms of Godhead, they have rules. But Krishna has no rules. One saint in Vrindavan once said, if you want peace, worship Lakshmi Narayana. If you want bliss, worship Radha Krishna. The implication is that you'll have bliss, but you will not have any peace. So Srimati Radharani herself complains. We find in Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he has described this. After Krishna went away to Mathura, this is the scene that Uddhava is coming back. Krishna hasn't forgotten them. He knows what their condition is. He sent Uddhava only for this reason. But in his absence, all the gopis, especially all the Vrijavasis, all of them, were suffering so intensely. So Srimati Radharani, her friends, seeing her in such a devastated position. We've already heard, now just consider, in the last chapter, we heard about Mother Yashoda in text number 28. Does anybody remember what was her condition? It's kind of understated here. There's no real emphasis, only one verse. It says, Uddhava had come and he spoke first to Nanda Yashoda. And the gopis, in their humility, they assumed that Uddhava had come only to talk to Nanda Yashoda. They didn't consider even that he might want to talk to them. Such humility we see in those who are the most blessed. But when Krishna came to discuss when Uddhava came to meet Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, first he talked to Nanda Maharaj, and eventually Nanda Maharaj just broke down and could not even speak any longer. Then he turned to Yashoda, but her condition is described as follows. Yashoda varnyamanani putrasya charitanacha shrinvantya shruni avasrakshit sneha snuta payodhara. As Mother Yashoda heard the descriptions of her son's activities, she poured out tears and milk flowed from her breasts out of love. And that is the only thing that was said about her condition. In other words, she could not even speak one word. Purport is described. From the very day that Krishna had left for Mathura, Mother Yashoda, although counseled and consoled by hundreds of men and women, could not see anything but the face of her son. She kept her eyes closed to everyone else and cried constantly. Thus, she could not recognize Uddhava, treat him with parental affection, ask him any questions, or give him any message for her son. She was simply overwhelmed with love. Now, we know that Vatsalya Rasa, technically speaking, it's not even the most intense of all the rasas. So how are we to imagine what Srimati Radharani's condition was, hearing this about Mother Yashoda? It's simply unspeakable. So she, in this condition, her friends advised her, look, he's not coming back. You gave yourself completely to him, and he took every advantage of you, according to his fancy, and now he's left you, high and dry, or high and wet, in this case. Why don't you just forget about him? He's a rascal. He's just abused you. We call this abuse in modern parlance. So, actually, Shukadev Goswami, elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, he says that Krishna's pastimes in particular, and especially his pastimes with the gopis, they're only meant to show us what is the frustration and misery that entail when we become too attached to the opposite sex. Shukadev Goswami says this. We generally steer clear of comparing Krishna's confidential pastimes with those in the material world. But Shukadev Goswami risks this comparison just to emphasize for us. So, her friends came and tried to console her. She was inconsolable. And they told her that just forget about him. He's not coming back. You're too good for him, as they would say. So Srimati Radharani agreed, yes, I know. He can do anything and everything at any time. This is his way. I know this. Lampata. What does the word lampata mean? I don't know. I can't think of a word in English that is really adequate. It's a strong term to call someone. Yeah, he's a debauchee, he's a cur, he's a rascal, he's a cad, he's, you know, profligate, he's, you know, there's another word they use for these people. Anyway, you get the idea. Just, you know, complete rascal, absolute rascal. This is the... She agrees. Yes, I know he's like this. It's true. Parantu. But I can't stop thinking about him. My heart only belongs to him. Mat prananatastu sa eva. Only him. No one else. Navarada. So this is her condition. So this is the viraha that they feel. It will be described in the coming verses. This bhava, they're surrendered to Krishna. Commentators on this verse, at least as it appears in Padyavali, have explained that this is the ideal of love of Godhead. Krishna is going to rip you off. Don't blame the devotees. This is what we generally do. We don't want to blame the spiritual master, or we don't want to blame Krishna. We blame our God brothers, or we blame somebody else. But actually, it's Krishna. This is the thing we have to understand. He's going to rip you off. Zurur. So, what to do about that? We chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sometimes people leave, and sometimes they even press lawsuits. They want their money back, as it were. So, There's no promises here. You're not going to get anything from this. This is the point of Vishwanath Chakravarti's Thakur's commentary on Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 41. What verse is that? Huh? Vyavasayatmika buddhi. He says, Vyavasayatmika buddhi means you're fixed on surrender to your spiritual master, and it doesn't matter if you get nothing for it. Ever. This is his point. You're going to keep doing this. That is to say, one has to surrender in this mood. Ashna Shiva Paradatam Pinashtamam Ityadi. That's why that instruction is there, and it is an instruction. Otherwise, it would not be called Shikshastika. So, therefore, the devotees in Vrindavan, they're not so trusting of Krishna, and they're not so much attached to Krishna. They're more devoted to Srimati Radharani because, in some strange sense, she's one of us. She understands what is it like to be surrendered to Krishna. She knows. The one poet, Braj poet, Hariram Vyas, he said that some people's strength is bhajan, some people's strength is tapasya, study, whatever. He said, as far as I'm concerned, my soul of faith is in Srimati Radharani, and I rest assured that she's going to carry me across. So, Uddhava has achieved some epiphany here. He has seen, with his own eyes, what is the standard, the real standard of devotion, pure devotion. And he's completely astonished. And he's immediately respectful. This is the sign of a superior personality. When humiliated, as it were, it's a kind of humiliation. Just like we say, Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya Koro E Dase Trinatheka Atihina. Please make me more humble than a blade of grass. What does it mean to be made more humble than a blade of grass if not humiliated? This is what gurus do. This is what they're supposed to do. It's normal. And this is the training, because it gets a lot worse when we go back to Godhead. Srimati Radharani herself is giving the evidence. So Uddhava sees this, and he's astonished. My God, this is really surrender. They know that he's not coming back. They know that he's enjoying with other women now in Dwarka or in Mathura, wherever he is. Shri Radhani Madhava. And despite his promises, he never came back. They know this. Even at Kurukshetra, it's a hopeless situation. It's really a moth into a flame situation, and still they're devoted. This is the point. So, I don't really have any authority to speak about this level of devotion, but to show the intensity of the gopis' love, Lord Krishna apparently left them. Now, there's an aspect here, which we're going to hear in the coming verses, that Krishna actually didn't leave them. But the gopis will never admit to that. They don't want to hear it. Uddhava emphasizes this. We also emphasize this. From a platform of objective knowledge, from a platform of knowledge, it's true that Krishna is with them somehow, in some aprakata form. But to increase the intensity of this love, as if it's not worse that they were left high and dry by Krishna when he went to Mathura, he never came back again, despite his promises to do so. And they've got to bear this for the rest of their lives. Raise your hand if you're ready to do this. You see? Most of us are not really eager to do this. That's why we chant Hare Krishna, because the heart has to soften. Our hearts are very hard. If Krishna leaves us, I'm happier this way. This is our attitude. So, Uddhava wants to show the intensity of their love just to show us indirectly that we don't have any love for Krishna. We don't have any love for Krishna. We're here quite satisfied in Houston, Texas, or Los Angeles, California, or Chicago, or Moscow, or Beijing, or wherever we are. We're quite happy with our lives. We're carrying on very nicely. We're not feeling separation from anybody. So, we'll talk more about this. The final sentence of the purport mentions that Krishna again manifested himself among them, becoming spiritually present through their intense devotion. That's another point. The fact of the matter is, as Krishna says in the essence of Bhagavad Gita, what is the essence of Bhagavad Gita? Nope. Pretty close. Anything else? Nope. Well, what is the most important section of the Bhagavad Gita? The middle six chapters. And what is the most important part of those middle six chapters? Well, chapter 9, you could argue, is Raja Vidya, Raja Guhya. And also the 9 and 10, Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur says. Because chapter 10 also has the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita. In that Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita, he describes Machitta madgada prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantashama nityam tushyanti charamanticha. The thoughts of my devotees are constantly on me. Their lives are surrendered unto me. They enlighten one another. They talk about me. And they enjoy in this way. Tushyanti charamanticha. That is there. That is there. In that sense, Krishna is spiritually present. But in a tangible sense, the gopis really feel that he's absent, and yet they still will not give him up. This is pure devotion. This is pure devotion. Okay, so tomorrow we'll hear what is Krishna's message to the gopis, the purpose for which he sent Uddhava to Vrindavan. This is all just introductory. And Uddhava is actually going to relate what Krishna has to say to them, and we'll hear some of the things that our acharyas have taught about that message. For now, I'm going to stop, but does anybody have any questions or any comments? No? Okay, one question. There's a few things that we could say about this. It's analogous. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in his fourth canto purports regarding King Makaradhvaj. And when the king died, the wife was still feeling his absence. And Srila Prabhupada makes this comparison between the... Again, it comes back to this point that we mentioned from Canto 9 about how serving Krishna as a wife serves the husband is the example that we should follow. And Srila Prabhupada applies that example to the spiritual master and the disciple. That when the spiritual master leaves the world, the disciple should lament. And he said that the instructions of the spiritual master should be the life of the disciple when the life, his real life in the form of the vapu of his spiritual master has departed. And he said that one should constantly meditate and attempt to fulfill those instructions even in his absence. And if one cannot fulfill those instructions, he says, one should rather die than continue living in this world. So that's a pretty strong statement also, and it's comparable to this situation. I mentioned the other day that Srila Prabhupada rarely expressed that he felt the separation of his spiritual master very keenly. He always emphasized the fact that he felt connected to his spiritual master by dint of following his instructions. We can say that Srila Prabhupada has given a similar emphasis in his discussion of this Brahmargita, in that, at least in Krishna book, his explanation tends to emphasize the understanding that one can remain in Krishna's association even when Krishna is no longer present in this world, aprakara association, through hearing and chanting, as we've described. Why he does that is anyone's guess. I'm not going to speculate, but it's a clear parallel, I think. And then finally, as we know, it's been stated at the very outset that the spiritual master has two forms. One of them is the Vabhu and the other one is the Vani. Tamal Krishna Goswami told me that although we say that the Vani is the really essential thing because the Vani is eternal, and the spiritual master's Vabhu has no significance without that Vani, but still, he said, at the same time, I never lost an opportunity that I could possibly gain to have Srila Prabhupada's association. And we see, practically any picture of Srila Prabhupada you can find, Tamal Krishna Goswami would be standing right next to him. So that is very important also. But they're both the same, and yet different. So Vani can help us to find solace when the Vapu has disappeared. And that works either with regards to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the spiritual master. Is that okay? All right, anything else? Yes?
Krishna gave so much to gopis and other things that the greatness of gopis, grateful heart was not seen in this scenario. And whenever our spiritual master also gives us so much peace, in the grateful heart,
Radhanath Swami says this all the time.
Yeah.
It's a very, very prominent theme that you will find in his teachings. Gratefulness. To be grateful. It's kritagnya. Kritagnya. The word is used in Sanskrit. Krita means done. Nya, to be aware of what someone has done for you. Here he's using the same word. Anugraha krita. You've done me great compassion. And he's aware of it. He's grateful. That's a good point. Anything else? Yes, Krishna Kripa Prabhu.
In one of Gopi Panandana's classes on Markandeya Rishi Darshan of Krishna, he speaks about how our philosophies are an acharya writing from the platform of Sri Shastra, and that they accept that once we decide we want Krishna, everything we do is ultimately moving in that direction, and if we're willing to, in spite of our imperfections and our inabilities, to continue that process of attaining Krishna. Can you relate that? Because that's clearly where we're
yeah.
full of fault, and we don't experience this.
I mentioned in the beginning, because we're overwhelmed. Overwhelmed means vivash. Vasha means to control, and you know, we've lost control. Vigata vasha. Totally gone. So we're overwhelmed by attachment, we're overwhelmed by our fears, we're overwhelmed by our frustration and anger. And therefore we need to focus on submitting to the bona fide spiritual master and engaging in devotional service as it is described in the Shrutis and the Smritis and the Puranas. This is the standard process that we have to follow. And it's a fact, it may take some time because old habits die hard, and we have to be very patient. It's usually going to take some time. So Goswami therefore advises that we remain enthusiastic at the same time that we're very patient. How patient? And utsaha nishchaya, we have to be firmly convinced that what we're doing is the right thing. Dhairya, we have to be forbearant. We have to be determined, I mean to say, very determined. And tat tat karma pravartana, I've already described, we have to follow all the rules and regulations. Sangha tyaga, this is a tough one for most people. To actually give up degrading association is a very difficult thing. More difficult than we think. And association doesn't just mean who you're hanging around with. It means whatever is going in your 10 organic senses. It's all mundane in this world. And we have to regulate it very carefully. What you're hearing, what you're seeing, what you're tasting, touching, smelling. Bhadram karnebhi shruniyama deva ityadi, the Shruti Mantra tells us. See only auspicious things. And that means the deity. Hear only auspicious things, which means Srimad Bhagavatam, Harikatha, Krishna Kirtan, Japa, etc. Touch only auspicious things, taste, smell, etc., etc. This is our process. We have to give up the mundane association. Now, spiritual association is much more powerful. To associate with another person who is submerged in the material energy, that is more powerful than to associate with jara, inert objects that are material. But they're all contaminating. So we have to be very careful of that. And then satovritti, we have to act properly. Acting properly means vritti. What does the word vritti mean? Your livelihood, your occupation. In our, we should lead an honest life, and we should behave in our ordinary worldly dealings in the way that is approved by sataha, satovritti, the saintly persons, which means basically we have to follow the smriti injunctions. Manu has given a very instructive verse in his Manu Smriti. He says, if there's ever any doubt about what is dharma and what is not dharma in a given time, place, and circumstance, because it is very confusing. It's always very confusing, actually. He said, then the fail-safe method to resolve that doubt is to simply follow the path that was set out by our forefathers and which they understood as dharma. If we do that thing, then we will never fail. This is something that we can find again and again as well in Bhagavad Gita, if we're sensitive to it and if we're looking. So this is the golden advice of Goswami. Yes, it's going to take some time. We have to be patient, and we have to have all these other factors in place as well. And then bahovo gyana tapasa puta madhava nagata. Krishna has confirmed people who have done this. There are many, many of them. And we have so many Bhagavatam, it's full. The very name Bhagavatam means it's all about the Bhagavatas who have done this, or those who have not done this. Because there's also the negative examples in the Bhagavatam. What you don't want to do is also in the Bhagavatam. So either way. we're in this for the long haul. And it may take some time, it generally does. Bahuvo gyanatapasa. And bahunam jamanam ante. After many births, sometimes it takes. But if we're prepared to follow in the footsteps of the gopis, they are prepared to wait for Krishna to return for many, many births. That is a fact. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Anything else? We'll stop here. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.